like a history lesson with you guys this morning, and I hope you don't mind, but it's very encouraging sometimes, I noticed in the words here, to know where you've come from and who has gone before. And it is no accident that you are sitting here at Fairview Avenue this morning with everything of who you are, what you bring to the table, how God can use your gifts. And I want to say that Wally and I, a little bit of our history, we met at college, and we got married, and we moved to Waynesboro. And we had big plans when we moved here. I'm from North Jersey, and so I wanted to live in Waynesboro, not outside New York City. And so we lived here, and it was a wonderful time. He went through training at Landis Machine Company at that time. And we had a lovely little affordable apartment on the top of a house on West 3rd Street. It was the whole top floor, and we only paid $100 a month. It was great. And this was a while ago. And we had a garage and a clothesline and lots of people who thought we were wonderful living on the top floor. And then in Waynesboro, this is different from where I grew up, but we had a local hospital where if you happened to appear in the ER, you would know the doctors and nurses by name. You would even know some of their maiden names, and they were names you could pronounce. It was wonderful. And Wally could walk to his job from 12 West 3rd Street to Landis Machine Company down the block where he was in the sales and service program. And I taught nursery school in town at Trinity United Church of Christ, where we attended at that time. And we were familiar with a lot of the 10,011 people that lived here at that time. You could walk downtown. It was easy to run into somebody you knew while you were walking. And even the troublemakers in the area, they were either known to us because they were in our class at school, or known to the 6 patrolmen that were in town that time and kept them order. And even people were familiar by their family reputations. So we knew everybody. We planned to raise our kids here and close to Wally's parents. It was going to be wonderful. We had big plans. And then all of a sudden, all of that was interrupted when Wally's training came to an end. And he said, guess where Landis Machine is going to move us? And then he said, how do you feel about car racing? We're moving to Indianapolis. I thought, Indianapolis? Oh, no goodness. We're going to Indianapolis. And so here's the Indianapolis that we moved to. Up there. Up. Oh, leave it alone. Indianapolis. That's what we moved to from Waynesboro. Population 750,508 miles from Waynesboro, 714 miles from my hometown in New Jersey. We had a 31-mile stretch of Interstate 65 and 70 cutting right through Indianapolis, which was circled by Interstate 465. The city was the county. That was Marion County. Wally went from walking one block to work to traveling to jobs in parts of Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, and Michigan. That was his... And I went from preschoolers at Trinity Nursery School to pre-med students in downtown Indianapolis at the University School of Medicine Library. And so that's where I was. And we had now 10 hospitals, a bunch of crime statistics committed by people we didn't even know, and more than 6 patrolmen. And we had 961 churches from which to choose. So there we are. Just 21 years old and moved. However, this was a big interruption. When God interrupts our plans, it's for a divine purpose, to guide us to a place that he needs us to be for our good and for his glory. Wally and I didn't plan to live in Indianapolis, but it was the Holy Spirit's plan. And the wisdom and the greatness of that plan unfolded in the 7 years that we lived in Indianapolis. For example, and I might recommend this, if you're newlyweds, living 500 to 700 miles beyond the influence of well-meaning parents that could make your marriage kind of crowded, our marriage became stronger. It was like, whoa, this is Wally and I against the world. On top of that, God got us to just the right place, a little Free Methodist church, the one church out of 961 that coincidentally happened to have an older couple that was connected not only to Waynesboro, but to the Brethren in Christ. Through them and others, the church body became our family there at Post Road Exit off of I-70, and our faith and trust in God became even more real and authentic. How we grew through that interruption. God's interruption turned out to be so good for us. But that's just my story. This morning, it's not about me. We're going to look at another interruption story and God's guidance, and that of Paul and Silas when they started out on their second mission trip to continue their good work of the kingdom of God. But first, let's pray. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are gathered in your name to worship you. Prepare us, we pray, to worship you in spirit and truth. We have nothing to bring that makes us worthy of your love and grace, but you have opened the way to fullness of life here and in the world to come. Let our time together right now be an equipping for greater blessing and service. We thank and praise you, Father, for your great love poured out upon us. Grant us ready minds and willing hearts to walk in full obedience to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul and Barnabas planned to embark on a second missionary journey in order to strengthen the churches that they had planted earlier. However, Paul and Barnabas disagreed about whether John Mark should come along because he had deserted him on the first mission. You can read about that in Acts. This dispute resulted in Barnabas and John Mark sailing for Cyprus, and Paul and Silas headed first to Derbe and Lystra in the province of Galatia. And in Lystra, Timothy was added to the mission team, and they are dedicated to continuing the good work for the kingdom. And later on, when you read in Scripture, it starts saying we, things like that, and Luke joins them. So here are all these greats of the faith. So we're going to take a look at Acts 16 and verses 6 to 7 right now, but if you have your Bibles, you can read along, but it'll be up here. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. And then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. After strengthening the churches in the region, Paul sought to go to the next southwest to the city of Ephesus. I wish I had a map up there. But Paul was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go there. Isn't that interesting? That the Holy Spirit actually prevented Paul from doing something that we normally think is good. Oh, I'm going to go on a mission trip. I'm going to preach God's word to those who need to hear it. Yet the Spirit of God directed this work, and Paul wasn't the right person in the right place at the right time to begin bringing the gospel to the Roman province of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey now. There was certainly nothing wrong with Paul's desire to preach the word in Asia, but it wasn't God's timing. After the attempt to go to Asia, Paul sought to go north to Bithynia, but again, he was prevented by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Paul put together some good plans to visit some churches on his missionary trip, but sometimes God redirects our plans, even if they're good ones. God redirects our plans when we don't know why, even when we don't know how, even when it hurts, even when it's confusing, even when it seems strange. We should be welcoming a change of plans if God in his sovereignty is allowing it. And that's where we take away number one. We follow God by being available for interruption. When God interrupts our plans, it's for a divine purpose, perhaps a good and greater purpose. When a door is closed, even when doing something good like Paul was, we tend to ask why. But here's the answer to that from what we see in the Bible. The reason why is that God interrupts our plans for usually to either align with his will. God may interrupt plans because the current course is not in alignment with his divine purpose. This can feel like a delay, but it may actually be a redirection to a more fruitful path, like Wally and I in our marriage. Another reason God can interrupt plans is to protect from harm. An interruption can always be a way to protect a person from unseen dangers or traps. What seems like a setback could be a divine intervention for protection. And some of us who have lived a long time kind of can identify with some of the things that we got interrupted and think, oh my goodness, if I had been protecting from harm. Another reason God interrupts plans is to bring someone to salvation. Sometimes God interrupts plans to create a situation where an individual is led to repent and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. You just don't know. And then the last thing, he interrupts plans to redirect to a greater purpose. An interruption can be an invitation to something more purposeful than what the person had planned. For example, the Apostle Paul was prevented from going one direction, only be redirected to a more crucial mission in another direction. Now, here's our history lesson. These people are Henry and Katie Burkholder Smith, and they're brethren in Christ. I was reading about this, and talk about interruption. Henry, the son of Bishop and Mrs. Smith of Grantham, PA, had charisma. He sang fine tenor, played a violin, told good jokes, my kind of man, and used the English language with flair. He graduated from Elizabethtown College in 1908 and had begun teaching at the newly established Messiah Bible School. He first met pretty Katie Burkholder in a general conference in Kansas, and it wasn't long until they became engaged. The young couple then presented themselves to the Foreign Mission Board for future service as missionaries, and the board suggested that they go to Africa after their marriage. It was a good endeavor, and they made plans to travel to Africa. Yet Henry found himself struggling with God about that. He chose to get away from the pressure of school routines and the parameters of his family and church and seek some solitude along New England's rocky shoreline. And there he faced a crisis decision, a tipping point, and asked, should Katie and I go to Africa as the Foreign Mission Board desires? Our families expect it, but the Holy Spirit is telling me it's not Africa. It's India. How can I go to India without Katie? How can I even ask her to get married and go with me when she's expecting to go to Africa? Maybe God's not directing us there together. Those hours of struggle on that lonely night finally led to a complete surrender to the will of God. Henry returned to his room, heartbroken but at peace, and he wrote his Katie a letter, breaking their engagement because he didn't feel fair to drag her with him to India. Is that commitment or what? Giving up the love of your life. But simultaneously, 3,000 miles away, Katie Burkholder struggled with the same issue. Alone in her room at the San Francisco Rescue Mission, where she was serving as a service worker, she heard the Lord saying, Katie, it's not Africa, it's India. She listened and thought, now how could she ask Henry to go there when the both of them were looking towards Africa? And how could she go alone? Eventually, Katie gave her final yes to the will of the Lord. She too wrote a letter breaking the engagement. As it happened, those letters crossed in the mail 3,000 miles. And surely, without a doubt, the Holy Spirit had shown Henry and Katie, their families, and the church at large, that God had chosen them to establish a Brethren in Christ church in India. They married, they continued to teach at Messiah and gather funds, raise funds for outgoing expenses, and it was a formidable task, but it gave them the love and confidence of the church. And on October 1st, 1913, they sailed from San Francisco, and 7 weeks later, they ended up in India. It's so interesting how that happened. And I just have to, I'm going to run out of time. I have to tell you this side note. It was Pastor Blaine at Hollowell got a call from Pastor David Joseph from India. And he said, I've been calling churches and I need help over here. And he said, can you send funds? And I thought, are you going to fall for that? Some guy on India calling you with his accent there. It's a scam. It's a scam. Turns out, no, no scam. And so we're again having a Brethren in Christ presence in India 112 years later. So cool. God may have different plans for you in your life than what your family, what your teachers or your church wants for you. God may even have different plans for your life than you have for you. But we should always be ready for God's interruption, not only ready and willing to surrender to his will, but to welcome it. So remember, we follow God by being available for interruption. Let's go on. There's just one little line here, Acts 16:8. So instead, they, that's Paul and the rest of them, went on to Mysia, to the seaport of Troas. Now, Paul was responsive to the Holy Spirit, was willing to lay down his will and his plans for the direction. So we too must be willing to lay down our wills and our plans for the direction that the Holy Spirit brings. Paul was guided by hindrance. The Holy Spirit guides as much by closing doors as he does by opening doors. A closed door always opens a new door, as we see here in verse 8. Paul and Silas and Timothy were not permitted by God to go to Asia Minor. Instead, God changed Paul's plans and took them on a journey to Troas. It was not what they had in mind. It was at least the third choice for him, but it was what God had in mind. So our takeaway is that we follow God by being available for his guidance. Open doors, closed doors. Let me tell you about Sam. He is a son of Graybill and Cecilia. Sam was born in Lancaster in 1914. As a young person, Sam developed a passion for missions. After graduating from Messiah Bible College in 1938, the same year he married his sweetheart, Grace, God guided Sam to help restart a shuttered and closed up Brethren in Christ congregation. This one. This was it. I'm talking about Sam Wagamuth, who restarted this shuttered, closed up Fairview Avenue Church. Because his full-time work with the church didn't include salary, Sam, who was a talented auto mechanic, purchased Waynesboro Auto Parts in 1948. I didn't know that, too. I thought I knew everything about Waynesboro. This store grew into a four-store chain of Napa stores, and their success provided an income for him and his family. But that's not the only success God had in mind. Successes that only the Holy Spirit can bring about when we make ourselves available for God's guidance. The greatest help we can bring anyone in life is the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. For without gospel, without the good news, there is very little real help that can be given. Sometimes it means joining God where he's already at work. And eventually, Sam met a guy named Dr. Bob Pierce, who was active in Youth for Christ. And he and Grace caught the vision for world missions, and he was available for God's guidance. And so he went on to Tokyo, Japan. God called him there and began working for Youth for Christ. And he was eventually became president. And he was active in ministry in over 50 countries. Verse 8 might read, and so instead, Sam went on through Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, and Tokyo, gave leadership to Youth for Christ ministry, ended up in over 50 countries, well beyond Mysia and the seaport of Troas. So we follow God by being available for his guidance, even though you're doing good stuff. And the last section of the scripture, oh, I forgot to show you Sam. There he is. And there is Fairview Avenue Church. What do you got there? And some of you remember having church in the the Welsh Welcome Center. Isn't that where the youth are now? So, it was fun finding pictures of that, fun facts. So anyway, we go on. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we, that's Luke, the writer who was saying this, decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So the takeaway is, and this is the hardest one, we follow God by being available for obedient action. God guides, we obey. In 1983 was the year of the Great Recession. I don't know if some of you were around in 1983. That year found us, Wally and I, still living in Indianapolis. And we were a family of four now. Matt was born there. And when Matt was three, Jordy was there. And so in 1983, God interrupted us again. I thought we were going to be in Indianapolis. Wally lost his job with Landis Machine. I don't know how many of you have had your plans wrecked by, or not wrecked, interrupted by God, by losing a job through no fault of your own, but it's kind of devastating. So there we are, plunked in the middle of Indianapolis and all its highways, and no job. Now, there was a recession on. People were losing their jobs all over the place. Wally looked for a job in the greater Indianapolis area, but none was to be had. People at church were praying and trying to help us, giving him leads, putting him in touch with this person or that one, but every door in Indianapolis was closed. Now, we know from Scripture that God may interrupt plans because the current course is not in alignment with his divine purpose. This can feel like a delay, an unsurmountable obstacle in our way, but it may actually be a redirection to a more fruitful path. An interruption can be an invitation to something more purposeful than what we planned. In the long run, Wally and I concluded that God was guiding us, perhaps even calling us, to return home to Waynesboro, which we did. We bid farewell to our church family, to John and Anna Martin, the older couple at church that had been like spiritual parents to us when our parents weren't around. We loved those guys. And we moved to Waynesboro. But on the move, Anna thought we might be able to attend her sister's church there, and they had just hired a nice young pastor who did a great job of preaching the gospel. Now, knowing that God is always sovereignly working his plan for divine purposes, I can't help but think that it was beyond coincidence that Wally and I found the one church out of 961 in Indianapolis that coincidentally happened to have the older couple that was connected not only to Waynesboro, but to the Brethren in Christ. And so we landed at the same church Sam Wagabooth had restarted so many years ago that was still there, still thriving, and Fairview Avenue became our home church. That was her sister's church. Anna's sister, Ruth and Harold Zerker, some of you might remember them, took up where John and Anna left off with us, modeling discipleship. It was like God was saying, okay, you guys go to Indianapolis for a while, learn about me and all that. This nice young pastor was Lynn Thrush, and he enriched our knowledge of God and helped our faith to grow into even more purposeful direction. And again, it was no mere coincidence that Wally found a job in Frederick, Maryland, and we planned to move there. And while there was no vision of a man standing there say, hey, come on over to Frederick and help us, it was more like Pastor Lynn inviting us, hey, you live all there, go over to Walkersville and help my father-in-law plant a church. So we did. And that was the Walkersville congregation. John Piper, author of Desiring God, states, if there is God in heaven, there is no such thing as mere coincidence, not even in the smallest affairs of life. Verse 9, a man of Macedonia stood pleading with Paul, saying, come over and help us. The Macedonian man wanted help. So Paul went to bring Macedonia the gospel, the best possible help. Christian communities can trace their origins to the churches that Paul started, and they still exist today. I looked that up. The church in Thessalonica had existed continuously since the first century. Paul visited Berea after fleeing Thessalonica and found a church there, and that Christian community continues to this day. Isn't that amazing? Two centuries, two thousands of years. God still calls people to the mission field, and he may call through unusual ways. It's still possible for a type of Macedonian man to give a usual call and serve God in a distant place, but being available for serving God here and now is also an act of obedience built entirely on the supernatural grace of God. And there's no telling how far the Holy Spirit can take a small act of obedience. You might be called to help. Here's a good one, Good News Club. I know some of the ladies volunteer to listen to scripture and work with the Fairview Avenue gang and wherever that is. Years ago, the Eigenbrod family here served in that capacity and planted seeds in Wally as a kid, preparing his heart so that someone like Sam Wagamuth, only for Wally, it was Bill Bright in Campus Crusade for Christ, comes along, leads him to Jesus Christ. This results in Wally being filled with the Holy Spirit, who guides him in a bunch of things over a lifetime, including a church plant in Walkersville, remember Christian Service Brigade, and to eventually joining the Gideons, where he comes alongside where God is already at work and hands Bibles out to school kids. They're planning to be here for Light the Night, and Wally will be here handing out Bibles. And go, who knows where those kids go or what happens to the Bibles once they go from Wally's hand to someone's heart. We don't never know the extent of it in this world. And I'm sure the Eigenbrods had no idea that when they said yes to the call of a little Good News Club at their house, how vast and how far that impact would take on one little boy. So it's just amazing how God works. It is ingrained in us that we have to do exceptional things for God, but we do not. We have to be exceptional in the ordinary things and on holy on ordinary streets and holy among ordinary people. True discipleship often takes place when no one is watching. The most radical and courageous actions of faith can happen in quiet, unnoticed moments. And the operative word here is action. When life's interruptions happen, when those guidings by the Holy Spirit present themselves, either by closed doors or open ones, it's important to respond the way Paul and his team did. They sought to take obedient action. We follow God through being available for obedient action. And that means aligning your will with his through a combination of active listening, humble submission, and a willingness to act on his teachings, even when it's difficult or not necessarily part of your plan. And we do that by reading our Bibles. We follow God by being available for action. Let me just finish with this little logo. I love this logo. I love being part of the Brethren in Christ. When you get down to it, everything I've been talking about is in this logo. And I call it Basin Theology. It's summed up in Basin Theology. We start with the cross. We can't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ as part of our lives. It has to come down to, like Paul started in the dust of the dirt road to Emmaus, saying, "Who are you, Lord?" And we have to say every interruption, every crisis that we face, everything that we think is going wrong, we have to say, okay, what do I think about God? Who do I say he is? Who is Lord of your life? Starts with the cross. And then the Holy Spirit, we surrender to God's will by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything on our own. It is by the grace and mercy of God that we can do things and we can hand out Bibles and we can serve Good News Club and things like that. The Holy Spirit has to be part of us. But it comes down to the basin. I think it does. Remember what Pilate did when he had the opportunity to acquit Jesus? He called for a basin and washed his hands of the whole thing. But Jesus, the night before his death, called for a basin and proceeded to wash the feet of the disciples. Following God comes down to basin theology. God often places us, interrupts us, guides us to be exactly where we need to be for the divine purpose of serving the gospel to others and bringing glory to himself. So, which basin will you choose? Let's pray. Father God, may your kingdom come and your will be done. May we continue to preach and live out the gospel faithfully. Let us be a people who make a difference for you in the places where we live, the workplace, the school, the home. Thank you, Father, for your blessing through this church, the fellowship of your people, the fellowship of prayer, the praises and testimonies of your working among us. May we go from this place with enlarged vision, with fresh anointing, and with a dedication to walk faithfully in service and surrender to your will. In Jesus' name and with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen.